Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Many people treat prayer like they do an oxygen mask on an airplane.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer on Focus on the Family Minute.
Now, when we flew here from Chicago, we didn't need the oxygen mask for which good. We were grateful, but we were glad that it was there. And many people say, well, now we're in trouble. Now we need God. Yes, you do. But actually, it's deeper than that. You have to understand that your fellowship with God has to continue despite the disappointment. People can spill out their hurt before God. God can take it. It's oftentimes at the end of our rope when we tell God what we think of Him and do it reverently, hopefully, that God begins to pour grace into our souls and we experience His presence.
Hear more at FamilyMinute.org.
Focus on the Family on AM 1230 KPRL and 99.3 FM is brought to you by Sculptera Winery and Sculpture Garden. The Franco family and staff invite you to visit their beautiful world and taste their award-winning estate wine. Open daily 10 to 5 on Lanay Road in Paso Robles.
Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, brought to you by Frontier Floors and Window Coverings at 830 21st Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-7878 or online at frontierfloors.net.
Now, the rest of the story. Michael calmed the children. With his most reassuring voice, he said, "Do not worry, little ones," he said, "you will be safe with me." Now the boys, ages 2 and 4, were too young to realize what was happening, too young to understand why suddenly they had been taken from everything that was familiar, then to be spirited across the French countryside, and most bewildering of all, the man with the reassuring voice and the anxious face was their own father. Now let me say that today it is sometimes called child snatching. That's a euphemism for parental kidnapping. For whatever reason, love or for revenge, one of two feuding parents will simply disappear with the children. And this sort of thing is receiving a lot of attention now, but what I'm telling you about happened more than 70 years ago. The relationship of Michael and Marcel began as most young lovers begin, both of them desperately in love. He was 27 and she was 17. They met in Nice, France, where Michael Navratil was a tailor and an instructor in a sewing class. Marcel was his star pupil. Eventually, they were attracted by their differences. Michael was Slovak. Marcel's parents were Italian. Michael was decisive, determined, demonstrative. Marcel was spontaneous and imaginative and artistically inclined. Advised to prolong their courtship, the impatient couple instead eloped to England, soon returned to Nice, France, and there they prospered. Michael Jr. was born in 1908. A second son, Edmund, arrived 2 years later. It was the stuff of which happily ever afters are made. Until somehow, somewhere, it all went sour. And the very differences which had originally attracted now repelled. The increased responsibilities of parenthood added to the burden of everyday life. And then early in 1912, a disenchanted Michael moved into bachelor quarters. The court granted a legal separation. The children would be permitted to visit their father, but only on weekends. And for Michael, that was not enough. He must have his sons with him always. So it was during Easter weekend of that same year that Michael and the two boys disappeared. Marcel was frantic, but there was nothing she could do. No clue she could follow. No trace of the three. Indeed, Michael Navratil and sons were traveling as the Hoffman family, a widower and his children. You see, he had been planning the getaway for weeks. He had made certain that they would never be found. And throughout their journey, Daddy comforted as best he could. He kept repeating, "We are going away to start another life together. Do not worry. You will be safe with me." What you have just heard bears little significance beyond what you have heard. Simply file it for future reference under best laid plans. For you see, Marcel's two little boys eventually, miraculously, were recovered by her. But her estranged husband was never to return alive. You see, in his eagerness to elude the authorities, he had run too far, too fast. He had spanned France by rail. He had crossed the Channel to Southampton. And there he and his sons had boarded a New York-bound maiden voyage vessel from which only women and children were saved. A vessel called the Titanic. And now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
Welcome to Sound Off. My name is Karen Veely, your host on Wednesday and Thursday afternoons. I'm also an investigative reporter with Cal Coast News. Go to Cal Coast News. There is no paywall. Today, I have Greg Graywall on the show. We're going to be going over the latest with the Paso Robles groundwater basin. But first, I want to bring up an issue that just occurred. We had a bank robbery at the Wells Fargo in Paso Robles yesterday, and they have identified the suspect. They are looking for him. You can go to Calcoast News, and under Paso Robles Police, identify bank robbery suspect. You can see what he looks like. Interesting. His name is Ernesto Noriega Cisneros, and I think he's 36 years old. That was not in there. The interesting thing is, he was wanted for a bank robbery back in 2018. He has been in jail before, but he is again, he wore a fluorescent colored yellow long sleeve shirt. So they were pretty well, pretty able to track him as he left the bank. He's got facial tattoos. They were able to positively identify him. He did get away with some money, and they want the public to be on the watch for him. If you see him, they want you to call in. That's the Paso Robles. The Paso Robles Police Department would like to have a phone call, and you can do it through Crime Stoppers if you don't want anybody to point out who you are. That is also available. But let's get back to what happened with the water. So, as many of you know, there has been a quiet title lawsuit by people in this area who did not want to lose their water rights. What happened was there was a group of people wanting to bank water using the Paso Robles groundwater basin. And you had several people in government, including former current supervisor Bruce Gibson and others, that were really pushing to give privatize the water here and bank it. So a group of residents and overlayers filed a quiet title lawsuit to protect their ability to their water rights. So on one side, you had the community, people that didn't want to lose their water rights or pay for water or pay to use the water under their property, which you have a constitutional right to. And then you had those that were trying to get it privatized. You did have enough people on city councils and in government to allow this to become quite a fight with government on one side and the public on the other. And what has happened recently, this case has been going on for 10 years.
2013 to the present.
13 years. Over 10 years. And at a cost of over $20 million for the lawyers. So remember this. This is not something that has been cheap. And the taxpayers have paid the bulk of it. So while this is going on, they lost case after case. They lost like seven of the hearings, correct?
There was five trials so far. Where there's a sixth trial coming up, which we're going to talk about, and then there was three or four stipulated agreements.
So basically, the overliers, the city of Paso Robles and others have a right to some of the water, but a very small amount, and they wanted to fight for more. So the city and San Miguel, they claimed they had treaty, Pueblo and treaty rights, and as such, they wanted to do that. Now, let's just talk about the city of Paso Robles. And John Hammond has been very close with Bruce Gibson fighting for this to happen. How many documents did the city of Paso Robles turn over in their attempt to claim Pueblo rights?
It just recently came out in the documents that they used 291 documents, almost 38,000 pages of information for their discovery that we asked, you know, what are you guys going to try to prove and how are you going to prove it? And then 2 days later, they drop out of the case. So I don't know what that cost the residents of Paso Robles to pay for 38,000 pages of documents that now are just sitting in the corner.
And for those, what you relayed this to, so Greg did a recent opinion piece in Cal Coast News, Paso Robles drops legal argument over water rights. So Paso Robles, his attorney's working on this is their big grab. And when the other side didn't back down, you said it's like a poker hand. You know you don't have it. You're just waiting to get close. And they dropped out. They're not doing it now. All the millions of dollars spent, all the fighting over this. And as they're getting close to the trial, everybody's dropped out except for San Miguel.
Yeah. So first, to use this affirmative defense, you had to have this. You're going to have to be, you have to prove that you were a Pueblo.
And that's the legal affirmative defense, yeah, and legal argument are the same thing. Their legal, yeah, argument is we have more rights because we were a Pueblo.
Yeah. So they want to claim that the Spanish left them a Pueblo and that they retained those rights from 200 years ago when the Spanish were here. Now the Spanish gave over the land to the Mexicans. They had it for 25 years. We've had it for the last 175 years. It was President Buchanan that gave the mission back to the Catholic diocese with 34 acres. And the CSD of San Miguel does not own the mission or the ground. And the CSD doesn't own the Catholic Church. And the Catholic Church is not a defendant in this lawsuit. So they're claiming there was a Pueblo. A Pueblo is the town built around a mission. All they had around the mission were the Salinan Indians. And the reason, what the Spanish did was, mission land was never granted. It was leased to the church that once they made the indigenous people Christians or Europeans, that eventually they would go away and they would leave them some land because now they weren't the same as they were before the Spanish showed up and Christianized them.
So they have, basically, they were trying, they're still in. Everyone else that was using that defense is out, because they know they can't win at trial. And so everyone else is out. And that's, they're still moving forward with this one. They could back out still, though, correct?
Yeah. I mean, on July 15th, we will get what's called a summary judgment from the court. So the judge is making a summary judgment. The purpose of a summary judgment is to save the court time. Our court date is August 17th, a month after that. So if for some reason we need to go to court, so there was five defendants in this. Atascadero Water Mutual, all they wanted to do was be separate. They were using this for a different reason. They didn't file for prescription like the other four defendants, which were Templeton, San Miguel, the city of Paso Robles, and the county of San Luis Obispo. Now, the county is representing, acting as the representative of Shandon, because that's a CSA, and they're the water district in Shandon. Well, Shandon was never a Pueblo or a Presidio, which is a military base, or a rancho. The Santa Margarita Ranch is a rancho, still a rancho, but that's what it originally started out with.
And they're not part of this.
No. But they lie over land. They're not a water district or a municipality. So it's the municipalities and water districts versus the private landowners. And by filing quiet title, you're just protecting your land. We didn't ask them to do anything. This all came about because of the emergency ordinance in 2013 that the county did to allow municipalities to keep expanding and using groundwater when the priority right goes to the people that live over the land that are called overliers. So we're the overliers. We have the priority right. The municipalities are what's called appropriators. They have secondary rights. If there's not enough supply, they're supposed to cut back. If they don't cut back enough, then they have to stop and they have to use what's called their supplemental water. In the case of Paso Robles, that would be Salinas River water and or Nacimiento water.
And they have plenty of water.
Yeah. Yeah. If they used all those other waters, they wouldn't have had to do any of this. But to use those other waters, they have, well, to use the water from the Nacimiento, you have to clean it because people swim in it. So it takes a little more treatment than pumping groundwater. So there's an added cost to that. But instead of paying attorneys, they could have completed working on their treatment facility and they could be using that water. And then the basin wouldn't have had to do any of this stuff. But you don't get grant money if you don't claim there's a problem. So why did we have the problem when it happened? Because the county wanted to get grants to do the groundwater plan, and they would be first up for grants by declaring the basin had a problem, and they thought it would be good for them to go into court declaring there was an overdraft.
And the other thing that's happened here, when they knew they couldn't win this in the long run, and you had, there were city council meetings, Bruce Gibson would show up and tell you how important it was that you kept fighting this. And again, over $20 million has been spent on attorneys. Over $20 million. And then you had John Hammond, who is very tight with Bruce Gibson and what he would do, what he wants to do, also saying, we've got to do this, we're going to win this. And their only legal argument right before, they say, we're going to drop out.
Yeah, their first legal argument, Paso sued Atascadero Water Mutual saying they were in a separate basin. So that had to be squared away with the Department of Water Resources, not the court. The next one was, what are we fighting over? They said the Paso Robles Basin, what's called the Bulletin 118 Basin that the state outlines. Well, 42 properties, I'm one of them, is outside of the basin boundary. But they wouldn't let us out. They still wanted to sue us even though we weren't in the stipulated basin because they didn't want anybody to have their quiet title and protect their rights on their property. So I've been in this case for an extra 10 years because of John Hammond and other guys and Bruce Gibson. And they're using my tax dollars, which we pay for to run the county and the cities, to sue me. And I'm using my own money to protect me. So when you look at this, and you're like, if they had to use their own money, they wouldn't be there. Their whole objective was make this take as long as it can take, make it cost as much as it can cost, because these fools, meaning us, the plaintiffs, the landowners, will eventually drop out because we won't stay and fight. Well, we're staying and fighting. We're not giving up. And we knew a year ago that the county was going to drop out because they had no discovery to claim they were a pueblo or any other kind of Spanish land grant. We knew Atascadero Water Mutual wasn't doing it. And we knew that Templeton wasn't doing it.
And you can call in 238-5775. I saw a caller. Sorry I didn't get to you in time. Call in 805-238-5775. So all this time, well, let's go over so people have an idea. So there was this idea of banking water, and they really were trying to do different things, and that's when they went for the quiet title. And there were multiple trials. And again, in one of the trials, they found out basically there hadn't been a lot of overdraft. There had been a small amount at one time, but all these claims of overdraft were not true. What happens is Gibson told the Tribune wrote it, someone from the state saw it in the Tribune and put it down as fact.
Now I have a document. Go ahead.
Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to bring to the conversation?
Hi, good afternoon. My question for Greg is the one that I've had since day one, where we have this PRAGA organization or authority, as they will. Who gave them the authority? Who appointed them?
Okay.
What gives them the right?
Okay, so they became water district, or two of the agencies became water districts that don't deliver water. And the reason they were allowed to do that is because they had to go through a thing called LAFCO, which our county has. the person that sat on the LAFCO board and helped them through, even though they were formed illegally, was Bruce Gibson.
Yes.
They were all same. All of these same entities were part of what was called the prior agreement that we don't have a problem. This was a document from 2005 that they tried to hide from the court because it said, hey, we don't have an overdraft. We have no problems. We will never file for prescription. We will never sue you. Just let us finish doing X, Y, and Z so that we can get Nasi Amano water and so on and so forth, and everybody will get along. Well, then comes 2005, is 2008, where these guys start doing water banking studies, and they're trying to decide, hey, what? Why don't we do like they did over the hill and have a water bank, and we can sell water? This basin here has 31 to 36 million acre feet of water in it. We did not want to be the next Owens Valley. We had lawyers and people show up in Creston and give meetings on how we could make more money selling water than we could by farming or enjoying our land, and that we could do a friendly adjudication and get in the water business. We told them to leave Creston. And one of those companies is still there. They bought that piece of land. It's that where the racetrack is, the horse racetrack that John Trebek used to own, that bought it from the guy that originally built it. Now it's called Windfall Farms. The reason it was called Windfall Farms is because it was an investment for a windfall. It wasn't, and they have on their own documents that they use farming as a cover crop so they can sell the water later somewhere else at a higher price where houses are being built and stuff like that. We didn't want that for our community, and we didn't want to be told that we couldn't use our land when the California Constitution gives us that highest priority and that right to be able to do that. And we weren't overdoing anything. But the investment groups that came in at the same time, you had Harvard Endowment. And obviously, we're going to go to a commercial.
We'll finish this question. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsor, and we will finish this question when we get back.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Maria Bartiromo, and this is the Fox Business Report. Stocks finishing mixed as investors continue to rotate out of high-flying AI stocks even after blockbuster earnings from Micron Technology. The tech-heavy Nasdaq, which has been dinged by worries around AI spending this week, jumped at the opening bell but quickly slid into negative territory during the trading day as the Magnificent Seven big-cap tech stocks continued to lose steam, led by Apple. Its stock tumbled 6%, one of the worst performers in the S&P 500 today. The tech giant said it's implementing price hikes on some of its products, increasing investors' concerns. The Dow winners, Caterpillar, United Health Group, and Johnson & Johnson. The Dow decliners, Apple, Microsoft, and McDonald's. The Dow rising 72 points, the Nasdaq lower by 118, S&P 500 down a point. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
So Ryan and I came to the decision to get life insurance when I was pregnant with our first son. He really wanted us to be taken care of if something happened to him. He provided for our family in life and also after his death. I think that would make him proud. Ethos makes it fast and easy to get life insurance. Apply in minutes and get same day coverage.
Get your free quote at ethos.com/save. That's ethos.com/save. Paid testimonial. Time spent on application may vary. Online health questions required.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
Good food, great friends, patriotic fellowship. Come celebrate 250 years of freedom with the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County. Join us Sunday, June 28th, from 11 to 3 p.m. at Templeton Park for a delicious tri-tip barbecue. Visit with Republican candidates and elected officials. Hear patriotic remarks from District Attorney Dan Dow. Adults are $40. Kids are free. Get your tickets at rpsloc.org. Paid for by the Republican Party of San Luis Obispo County.
Do you use propane? At Delta Liquid Energy, you can pre-buy your winter propane gallons to lock in your price. Fuel prices fluctuate, so with Delta Liquid Energy, you can take advantage of potential pre-buy savings. To learn more, contact Delta Liquid Energy before June 30th. Family-owned and operated, call Delta Liquid Energy 805-239-0616 or go online to deltaliquidenergy.com.
The sound-off lines are open at 238-5775. 238-KPRL. The North County's listening to you on Sound Off.
Welcome back to Sound Off. We were listening to Greg. He was answering a question. And I will let you finish that.
Well, I want you to go ahead and if there's something else that you want me to...
Is there anything else, Jan, that you would like to bring up?
Do we have her?
Hello? No.
Nope.
Okay. We do have a text message. Big kudos to Greg. We appreciate it very much. Geniso District. And I do think that the people appreciate what you guys... I know it was very expensive. It was time-consuming. You've got 13 years of your life. I've been in legal stuff. When you first do it, you don't realize these things are not fast.
No, I mean, when we were driving to the big trial, but I went to the courthouse in San Jose 32 times. And then during COVID, we had 10 or 12 court actions that were on Zoom meetings. And the people don't realize what happens behind the scenes with all these different documents and where the court tells the different sides they have to get together for conferences and they have to, give information back and forth, and they try to drag it out. The lawyers try to mix up the pages. They play so many games. It's just unbelievable what you go through. Now, this was what was considered a complex case. So a complex case, there was only one judge when we started this in California that handled complex cases. So that means there's going to be multiple trials within the whole case. Well, when you only have one judge, you don't just get one court date after the next court date after the next court date. And if there's any kind of a hiccup, it's not easy to get your next court date. And that's why this takes so long. And now we have two judges that handle complex cases, but ours is finally, this is the last affirmative defense. There's no more trials after this.
And let's talk about the different, because you won the trials. Now, they did determine there had been some overdraft at some time, and they actually gave them the right to a very small amount of water to Paso Robles and San Miguel, but a very small amount, which was way less than they wanted. Can you go through the different trials and tell us what happened in each trial?
Yeah, so the very first trial, the plaintiffs, which were us, we have to prove that we own our land and give all the description just like what would be at the county recorder's office and stuff. And we have to prove that we have what's called percolating water, which is groundwater. And we did that. So it was more documents than it was actual court time, but it was still court time. Then the next trial, Paso Robles sued Atascadero Water Mutual claiming they weren't a separate basin and because they didn't want them to get out. Atascadero Water Mutual basically got in to separate themselves so they wouldn't be part of all this stuff in their water mutual.
And again, Atascadero won, Paso lost.
No, Paso won because the judge said, if you want to be separate, you got to get that squared away with the Department of Water Resources from the state. And the state has to redesignate you, which they did some years later.
Okay.
But
that finished.
So then the third trial was going to be on what is the boundary? And so instead of having a trial, everybody stipulated that the boundary that we were arguing about was the Bulletin 118 basin. There's 515 basins in the state of California. We're one of them. And everybody said, yeah, this is what we're arguing about. And that's what I said. I'm outside of the basin with 41 other properties, but they didn't want us to be out because they didn't want us to have our quiet title. We weren't in the area that they were arguing about. We were outside that area.
What was the next one?
So the next one was the 14-day trial. We were the first water court hearing that had a jury in all of the years of water law. And so we wanted a jury. There was three periods of time, the defendants, which the city of Paso and the county were the main leaders, that they were claiming there was an overdraft. They won the oldest period. The jury found that the other periods didn't have a problem that were more recent. And so the amount of, so that's all the jury was supposed to do. What happened after that, they came out right away and said, oh, we won, we get to pump from the basin, we're the same as them, blah, 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 blah. Not true. 6 months after that, what was called a quantification trial. The quantification trial decided how much water do they get. So in the trial, the safe annual yield was 92,000 acre feet. As a group of the four defendants, they won barely over 2,000 out of the 92,000. So all of a sudden, there was no new news information in any of the fish wraps or any of the other stuff on what a great job they did, because they didn't get squat. City of Paso got 1,266 acre feet, and San Miguel got 177 acre feet. The county got 310 acre feet, and Templeton got 309 acre feet.
And that is very small. I know when, I've seen when they're approving a neighborhood with, you know, 120 homes, and they want them to have a couple hundred acre feet.
Right.
What, so you availability.
Which you have to remember also, this included Atascadero sub-basin and a portion of the basin that's in Monterey. So the portion of the basin that's under management by this make-believe water authority that calls themselves Praga, that's only 80%. So 20% of Paso's court-ordered water has to come from those other areas, which, so they're less than 1,000 what they can take from the Paso Basin, but they have plenty of water they don't want to use that they haven't put to beneficial use, which is the Nacimiento water. They got more Salinas River water they could use. And so our next thing, after the quantification and the court order, which they don't like the court order, they don't want to talk about the court order, they've never put any of this information into the Department of Water Resources annual reports, which should be in there because this is all about basin management. So then the next trial was called self-help. They wanted us to prove that we used water during the period of time 40-something years ago when this small portion of overdraft occurred. Well, that was during the COVID time. So, but we proved it. So all of our properties were proven to have used water back at that time. And I won't get into the minutiae of it, but there's things called adult properties or the parent properties and child properties. Your property might not have been subdivided back 45 years ago, so it was part of a bigger property. If that bigger property used water, that means you used water. If you had a house or any kind of stuff on it, the court concluded, well, if you have a house, you have a septic system. If you have a septic, you must have water. You weren't allowed to build if you didn't have water. So anyway, we proved we used water. So then we had to wait another year for this last trial, which there's only two defendants, and now there's only one, which dealt with the Pueblo and the treaty rights from when the Spanish were here and when the Mexicans had it for a short period of time. And that's where we are today in all of this 13 years.
And basically what we have here, though, is a lot of attorneys making a lot of money. And they're the same attorneys statewide that are fighting over water. So you have another one here, and there's another case about water, and this is in what area?
Ventura County. It's called Fox Canyon Groundwater Management Agency, and they came here back when the county and others were trying to force the Assembly Bill 2453 to make a special water district over the basin, and we voted that down. These guys came here. Well,
it's the same attorneys that we're saying, though, the same attorneys that are walking away with over $20 million, they're also involved in this case, and they're making their argument. So what, this is the ruling, correct?
Yeah.
So will you read that highlighted portion? So the first page of the ruling.
Yeah, it says, in allocating water rights, the court gave the priority to the overlying landowners. That's us. The overlying landowners have the highest priority right with correlative rights. That means we share equally amongst all the neighbors. And it found that there was no surplus for the appropriators. That means that the amount of water being used, there wasn't any extra, and appropriators have to use their other supplemental water. And it states they have secondary rights. They don't have priority rights.
When did this ruling come out?
About 2 months ago.
Okay, so these are the same attorneys in a different case over the same things, and they were just told the overliers have the priority rights. What does it say at the end of this ruling? And this is a major, how many pages is this?
46.
That's a long ruling.
but it's really interesting because everything that we talk about or that I've talked about over the years on the priority rights and what an appropriator is, and just trying to educate the other people out there what correlative rights are and why this happens. The people that live on private wells, they maintain those wells. They paid for those wells. They're taxed on those wells as an improvement on their property. There's nobody showing up if they run out of water. They have to do this on their own. And so when people think you get free water, there's no such thing as free water. The infrastructure is what costs the money. The electricity, the pumps, and all of this stuff. But I go to the back pages and it lists all the attorneys and I look, well, here's the county's attorney that they hired. Here's the city's attorney. Here's San Miguel's attorney. Here's Templeton's attorney. Here's Atascadero Water Mutual attorney. All those same attorneys work for municipalities because they're going to get paid a lot of money from the taxpayers because the people that are voting on this stuff, it's not their money.
And what'll be really interesting, they just lost this one the same way they appear to be losing the Paso one. The ruling isn't out completely on the Paso, but they just lost this. Are they going to continue taking these kind of actions against the overliers?
Well, this was the last case of our complex case. So once
I mean statewide.
Oh,
if another group wants to fight, because now they know.
Yeah.
If they do this and make, for example, if they made $20 million here and $20 million there, do they even care that they lost?
It's the same thing with the consultants. They started this Sustainability Groundwater Management Act, and it's been a slot machine for the consultants. Oh, we have to do another study. Oh, we have to do another study. Oh, we have to do another report. Oh, we have. In between the 10 years of this, nothing's been done. They can't show you where they've implemented anything to do anything. So just like we had the Paso Basin, what they call themselves, the Water Authority meeting last night, and they're all patting themselves on the back because they use Prop 26, which doesn't take a vote, so they can kind of keep the lights on and pay an attorney that's in the back of this thing I just talked about. Her attorney firm's one of the losers. She was the one they hired because she was a 218 expert, which they lost last year. So they paid a bunch of money for that. They've illegally used the grant money to fund this new group, which it specifically says in the grant, you can't use this grant money to form a new board or to do any Sigma requirements. The grant is for specific things that we agreed to. And they haven't fulfilled their obligations. But again, when you're the county, when you're some kind of a government organization, you just do what you want. Because the chances of somebody suing you are slim to none. And, you know, we got together thinking, well, this is the only thing the court allows us to do to protect our property rights. I can guarantee you when this started, the first thing I told my wife was, I didn't know I needed water insurance. I thought I owned this land, even though I have to pay all these taxes and all this other stuff. I guess I'm a renter with all the money I pay, but I thought, you know, it's private property. I get to use my property. I understand that there's, you know, rules for building and you have to get permits and stuff like that. And it was the same thing when you put a well in. You have to get a permit from environmental health. It has to be inspected. You follow the rules and stuff. But does somebody else all of a sudden, because they're a municipality, did come over and say, well, thanks for putting that in, but now it's ours? I don't think so.
What you did for the community and for those that weren't part of the lawsuit is huge.
Yeah, I wish more people would have gotten. I understand the fear factor 13 years ago. Some people grouped up as farmers thinking these farmer groups would help them more than this group. And now they're finding out in those, I call them the two fake water districts because it specifically says if you want to be an irrigation district, you have to own the majority of land over the common source of water. So what is the common source of water? It's the basin.
And they don't own the majority.
And they don't own the majority land. It also states that you must have a system of works to be the 2 miles apart that they are. A system of works is a way to move that water. They have no system of works.
The problem is, and we, there is so much breaking the rules, and there's little enforcement in this county, and people just think they can do what they want to do on a regular basis. We're going to take a break, a word from our sponsors, and you'll have one last segment to call in and talk to Greg about what he has appears to now be on the winning side of.
Peak Painting, we get it. Hiring contractors can be frustrating. Missed calls, no callbacks, endless waiting for even a price. We do things different. You can book your quote right on the spot. And to top that off, you will have a detailed quote and price before we leave. Painting is easier with Peak.
Hi, I'm Seth Peak.
And I'm Ryan Peak.
And we're the Peak Brothers. From cabinet painting to interior painting.
Exterior painting, both residential and commercial.
We're your go-to family-owned and operated painting company serving all of Slo County. We look forward to working with you. To learn more and book your appointment, visit Peak Painting at peekpainting.com.
When you need a plumber, chances are you need one right away. That's why Red's On-Time Plumbing is available 24/7 with same-day service. Red's On-Time Plumbing has a 5-star rating on Google. Get a great plumber and quick. If you're planning a project, Red's has convenient online booking and always gives free estimates. Ask about a $1,000 SoCal rebate on high-efficiency tankless water heaters. Schedule now at ontimeplumbingpro.com or call Red's On-Time Plumbing at 805-466-6188.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We moved from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Celebrate the 4th of July and America's 250th birthday with your friends, family, and neighbors at Barney Schwartz Park in Paso Robles, Saturday, July 4th, starting at 4. Enjoy the Family Fun Zone, live music by Garden Party and Steppin' Out, and a food truck zone all day long until the stunning fireworks show at dark. Parking and admission are free, so come celebrate America at Barney Schwartz Park on July 4th in Paso Robles. Find out more at prcity.com/July 4th. That's prcity.com/July and the number 4.
Welcome back to Sound Off. I have Greg Graywell on the show today. We're talking about water, and we have a caller calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to talk to Greg about?
I just want to say that he's like a bulldog. I've never seen somebody work so hard that didn't get paid for it. And I think they should erect a statue.
I'm too tall. That would take too much material.
But, you know, there's got to, you know, you did such a good job of proving every single time that they're wrong, and they won't take it. But
oh no, I tell you, I was in Bruce Gibson's office last Monday, and he told me that over the years he's heard all of my opinions, and I said, How can they be my opinion when I have a document and all I'm doing is showing you the document and repeating what it says on the document?
Mm-hmm.
He didn't have he didn't have an answer for that.
Of course not. Karen, can I talk about something just really quick that I've been trying to get a hold of somebody?
Do it quick. We got another. We only have a couple minutes. We have another caller waiting, but do it quick.
You know the bridge that they want to put in over to Tascadero?
That's the staircase to heaven.
Will you write my phone number down and call me. 234-1703. Call me after the show.
Led Zeppelin wrote about that bridge.
Okay.
Thank you for calling
in. Thank you so much. We really appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Greg today?
Well, I'm going to give it one more try. Okay, so I keep saying, all of a sudden this Praga group just showed up, and all of a sudden there are millions of dollars in attorney's fees, and they're talking about putting it on the ballot, and then they're talking about, well, if that doesn't pass, we'll just add it to your property taxes. And I keep saying, you know, if somebody doesn't stop these people, if somebody doesn't call them out and make them prove where they get the authority for this, that's exactly what's going to happen. They're going to go ahead, go forth, and do what they want to do, and we're going to pay for it.
Right. So right off the bat, the 218 process came because of why they were still trying to call things fees after Prop 13. Then they were still trying to do some stuff, and that's where Prop 26 came from years after that. So these guys, because they anointed themselves water districts, got together and voted to form a joint powers agreement, and they got out of the memorandum of agreement that they originally had, because this formation allowed them to do taxation, and their taxation was claiming that they were going to do projects that were part of the groundwater plan. So after they lost the 218 process last year, they had no funding. They had to fund themselves for this one last fiscal year. And then they didn't want to do a 218 again because they had spent a lot of money on the one that failed. So the Prop 26 they did allowed them to go forward without a vote, without notifying anybody. But it only allows it to collect money for 1 year and only allows that money to be spent on administrative costs, not on any projects or anything that you're supposed to do with the groundwater plan. So it really serves no purpose other than defunding their organization, because if they're not fully funded by June 30th on July 1st morning, they have to fold their tent as far as being a joint powers agreement. This is what they're trying to stop right now. And this is why, the water code allows you to do funding for certain things, but there has to be a benefit and there has to be a reason. And to pay Claire from Bridget Hansen and to pay the young kid from Bakersfield to run the meetings for $1 million isn't a benefit for nobody except for them.
Yes.
And this is what the people have to fight against. Now, in my view, and not my view, the facts, the county is the water district for Shannon. The city is the water district for the boundary of the city. These other two districts that made themselves irrigation districts, they're only a district for their members. So nobody's a water district for the rest of the unincorporated area.
Okay.
So they're not my water district. I tell this to all of them all the time. So I don't know how you can charge me. I didn't vote for you. You're not part of my thing. So it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight. We need to put together some money and legally go after them.
Absolutely. It's just, you know, my personal opinion is anything that has Bruce Gibson connected to it is corrupt and shady, no matter how you look at it. So I am all in for shutting this down. They have no authority to tax anybody, and certainly not to put it on their property taxes.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you very much for calling in, Jan. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Greg today?
Well, fast forward 5 years. Where does that leave the people with quiet title? What will happen with their properties? What will the situation be? I mean, what will be the outcome once all the dust is settled?
Okay, a property that has quiet title that's proven its right and has kept people from claiming against them is more valuable than a property that doesn't have quiet title. So those assessor's parcels numbers on those properties will have something recorded on their deed that gives them that right for future trespasses or people claiming that they have some right over that area. And that's what this was about. It was the only thing that the California law allows a property owner to do. We didn't have any other choice. And you're looking back at the documents that were there. They promised never to do this stuff in the first place. So the municipalities will always try to use the taxpayers' money to do their little special agreement. And I'm always looking at them. What did you get out of this? What were you trying to get out of this?
Right. So, I mean, do you have any way to quantify what that would be worth, or what it is worth to someone purchasing the property?
Well, I think if it was somebody that was purchasing a property that knew that the title was clean and that they didn't have any problems on doing what they wanted to do on the land without any encumbrances from the county or the city, I think it would be way more valuable in the future. But, you know, I just was looking at protecting my land for my kids.
Yeah. Well, then, but the other side of it is, what if the water level drops and there's no water there anyways? I mean, that's what the bottom line was. When we got involved, is that, well, I mean, yeah, we want that on the property. It seems worth it. But the other side of it is, if our well goes dry, no one's going to help us. So
no, that's always been a problem. But that's why the people that live around you have a correlative right to an equal share. And if they're doing something to damage you, then the people around there that are being damaged need to go after that person.
And thank you very much for calling in. Welcome to Sound Off. What would you like to ask Greg today?
I want to first say, Greg, you're doing a magnificent job. Did anybody get the last hearing speak in favor of this thing? No. And everybody that did speak pointed out how the whole thing was illegal. And they just totally ignored us, all five of us.
Yeah, because you know, Dale, hey, they give you your 3 minutes and then they turn off the mic because they don't really care what you have to say.
Anyway, keep up the good work. Let me know when you're ready to get some money together. We don't have much, but we'll put together something to go after these bastards.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you for calling in. What's next? We only have a couple minutes, but what's next?
Well, since the appropriators, the municipalities, the CSDs, and the CSAs have gotten a prescription from the court, which is their amount of water that they can take from the basin if there isn't any surplus, and as soon as the quiet titles get recorded from those properties, I'm hoping that the rest of the people over the basin will understand maybe it's time to adjudicate the basin, because of the Department of Water Resources all the way back in 2014 said in their own documents, the best way to manage a basin is the adjudication process, because it's all settled. You get a water master, the court takes care of anything that has to go to the Department of Water Resource. You don't need another board. We don't need any more attorneys. We don't need any special taxes on our property tax bill. We don't need all this other stuff and more government that they're trying to pursue to help their friends and consultant buddies and everything else. And you look back at all these reports that they've done and the money they've wasted, and I go back and I go every few years. I call it the carousel of consultants, because they just take turns on doing the next study and make a bunch of money.
I see all the grant money that goes to consultants and all these different things, and you're absolutely right. The lawyers and the consultants make a lot of money, and the taxpayers pay the money.
Yeah, and bottom line, if you were getting some kind of benefit, if it was changing the curve on something, it's just like there's thousands of acres of vines being pulled out right now, which means less water being used. And going back to the annual reports, you'll learn a lot if you just look at those reports.
And I want to thank you very much, Greg, not only for coming on the show, but what you've done for the community.
Thank you.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals, across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.